May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a ban of utter destruction. And with that, the Old Testament ends, and the voice of prophecy is silent for 300 years. John the Baptist features quite prominently at the beginning of the Gospels. His life and his ministry, the forerunner of Jesus Christ the Messiah. And you might be forgiven for asking why. Why does John the Baptist figure so prominently? Or, as I asked my RE teacher when I was at school, who was this weirdo who roamed around the desert in nothing but a camel shirt and a leather belt? And where are his trousers? I'll leave you to ponder that second part, as I have for many years, but I will try and answer the first part. Why does John the Baptist feature so prominently in our Gospels? Well, one reason is that he was actually prophesied in the books of the Old Testament. The opening of the sermon there was from the book of Malachi, and this also: "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." The message of and ministry of Jesus Christ, including his death and resurrection, is prophesied throughout the Old Testament. So John is a messenger. Why did God feel that he had to send a messenger ahead of his son, Jesus Christ? Well, that's just the way it was throughout most of history. If a king was going on a progression, he would send a messenger in front of him. Because otherwise, how would anyone know that he was coming? The messenger would go ahead, let the people know the king was coming so they could be prepared. There was always a standing joke when I worked at Dover Castle that whenever anyone important was coming, all they would smell when they arrived was the smell of fresh paint, because they would go, we'd go around and we'd basically clean everything and paint anything that needed painting. And that's why they would send a messenger ahead of them, to be ready to welcome whoever was coming, in this case, Jesus Christ. But John just wasn't some random person who just happened to be there at the right time. John was there because he was called by God. He was called to be the messenger who came ahead of Jesus. So you might wonder why, when John is calling people to repentance, the Jewish leaders were so concerned about who John the Baptist was. Were they missing the point? Well, I don't think so, because you have to remember, at the time of Jesus, Judah was a hotbed of political unrest. The Jews were under the rule of the Romans, and they weren't very happy about it at all, and they tried to bring about the time, or remember the time, when Judas Maccabeus had thrown out Antiochus IV, who was not a very nice person, to put it bluntly. But you see, the Romans had come in and they had thrown out the dynasty that was started by Judas Maccabeus. Pompey, the Roman general, instead of choosing one of the people contending for the throne, had basically come in and said, right, well, if you can't decide who's going to rule Judah, I'm going to do it for you. And so that's how the Romans came. And at the time of John the Baptist, there were four main parties in Judah. The Pharisees were the main religious orthodoxy. And in scripture, we meet people like Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. You have the Sadducees. They represented the ruling class, and Caiaphas and Annas, the high priest, who was around at the time of Jesus' execution, they were Sadducees. We have zealots. We probably see them as a bit of a, they were a bit troublemakers, maybe even a terrorist organisation, and they were dedicated to trying to get the Romans out by force. Two of Jesus' disciples were actually zealots, Judas Iscariot and Simon the zealot. And we also have the Essenes. They were people who'd opted out of mainstream society, and they were famous for living in a place called Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Now, in the time of John the Baptist, messiahs sprung up quite regularly across the country, and they were offering to rid the Jews of the Romans. And they often attracted quite a following. Most of them met a bit of an icky end, and their followers were scattered. So in that respect, it was actually quite normal, quite not surprising, that the Jewish leaders would be asking who John the Baptist was. Was he the Messiah? John was quite adamant that no, he wasn't. So who was he then? By his own admission, John was simply the forerunner of the Messiah, whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. John was countercultural. He pointed away from his ministry because he recognized that Jesus' ministry was more important, even in the midst of revival. People were repenting of their sins and being baptized, and the temptation would have been for John to say, "I'm really great." But John realized that his ministry was not to point to himself, but past himself to Jesus. And like John the Baptist, we as Christians are also called to point past ourselves and point people to Jesus. And I think that's the message of John the Baptist in today's lesson. It's easy for us to get caught up in the culture of consumerism at this time of year, Christmas just over the horizon there, to feed the unholy trinity of I, myself and me. I actually find it quite amazing and in some ways quite sad that people take out loans to buy the biggest and most expensive Christmas presents at this year, at time of year, and they put themselves in debt for the rest of the year, until Christmas comes around again and they take out another loan. But perhaps the greatest Christmas present that we have to give is to introduce people to Jesus, to point past ourselves as John did, to say, it's not all about me, it's not about the material things I can buy, it's about Jesus. We heard John say in this week's gospel, "I'm not worthy to untie his sandals." In the absolute, no one is in the same class as Jesus. But do you know what? That doesn't matter. We didn't earn this. We didn't earn our honour of being called children of God. We simply received this as a gift from God. And what a Christmas gift that is, to know that we have become children of God. And that is good news that we need to share with others. It is a Christmas gift worth giving to others. Amen.